the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, "Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. I must go to Jerusalem, 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 that kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to it. How often I desire to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, dear Christian friends, we talk about why it is that Jesus must go his way to Jerusalem. And nothing will dissuade him. And the reason is this. He goes to Jerusalem so he can gather you under his wings. That's why he does this. We're in the 40 days of Lent, a time of repentance. And we're on our way to Holy Week, the 40 days of Lent for the 40-day temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Jesus said, "I must go on my way to Jerusalem." Nothing was going to stop him. And we too must go our way to Jerusalem. And the beauty of the church here is that our life, by the readings of this time of year, are shaped by the life of Christ rather than by this world. The Pharisees want to derail Jesus. They say, "Get away from here." But they have ulterior motives. They want Jesus to abandon his mission. And then Herod wants to kill him. And that would not happen yet. Later, at Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, the combination of Caiaphas and Herod and Pilate, Jesus would be killed, but it wasn't his time yet. So Jesus tells them to go tell that fox, that sly Herod, that "I'm going to continue my work, and I will not stop, for his time had not yet come." My friends, this is why Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and why he still weeps over this world for whom he died and for whom he gave his life. Jesus went to Jerusalem to gather us under his wings, and I want to talk about four ways that Jesus, who went up to Jerusalem to be crucified and to be raised from the dead, four ways he gathers you and me under his wings. He went up to Jerusalem, number one, to cast out the demons so you and I can live without fear. Secondly, he gathers us so he can perform cures so that you can be healed. Thirdly, he will die at the gates of Jerusalem so that you can come into the new Jerusalem. And fourthly, he will be perfected on the third day so you also can be raised. And of course, these four points are in the back of your bulletin as well. First of all, he wants to gather us under his wings by casting out the demons so you can live without fear. He says, "Behold, I cast out demons." Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus says, "Behold," that's like a light that goes on, meaning we better listen. Very important. He came to defeat Satan. He cast out the demons. Demons are evil angels who rebelled with Satan. And because they rebelled and were cast into hell, they roam the earth, tempting us, tormenting us, and torturing us. The demons want you in hell, where they are. This is why when Paul described what the world is like today of the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh in the epistle, he said that many people walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, which is hell and condemnation. Their God is their belly, the old Adam, the sinful flesh. Their glory is in their shame. The world rejoices in debauchery. But their minds are set on earthly things. No faith, no repentance, spiritually dead. Jesus came to defeat Satan and the demons by being the second Adam for us. Last week and the first Sunday in Lent, We saw Jesus in the wilderness tempted by the devil. And he overcame all three temptations of the devil in the power of his humanity as the second Adam. He began his ministry by overcoming the devil's temptations, and through his whole ministry, battled the devil and defeated him every time. And of course, at the cross was the complete defeat of Satan and the demons. Jesus defeated the devil's temptations. He cast out the demons so you can live without fear. You don't have to be afraid of the demons or the devil. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. You have the Word of God in you, which is the sword of the Spirit. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The Lord Jesus Christ has cast out the demons. And now he's gathering us under his wings, and we do not have to live with fear of them, for Christ has defeated them. Secondly, he went to Jerusalem and he wants to gather us because he performs cures so you can be healed. I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Jesus performed many cures in his ministry. He cast out diseases. He gave the blind their sight. He enabled the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. He enabled the lepers to have clean skin. And in his miracles, he's given us a foretaste of heaven. We still live with the woes of this life, yes. And he does answer our prayers, and we've all seen family members who amazingly have recovered from severe illnesses because he heard your prayer, he answered it, and he cured the loved one, or maybe even you. But perfect wholeness for our bodies will not come till heaven. And so his performing of cures is a foretaste, isn't it, of heaven, where the lame will walk, the deaf will hear and the blind will see. We get a foretaste of what Paul said about our citizenship being in heaven, where we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming in the last day, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body at the resurrection day. Those words are spoken at every funeral, whether at the church or at the graveside. He transformed our lowly bodies. We'll be completely whole in body and soul, like unto his glorious body, by the power by which he can make all things subject to himself. Jesus performed healing. Jesus' perfect healing will come in heaven. There he will gather you in that perfect healing of body and soul in paradise. Thirdly, Jesus continues his way to Jerusalem to gather us under his wings, so that the one who died at Jerusalem can enable you to come into the new Jerusalem. Jesus said, I must go on my way. The prophets must perish in Jerusalem. The word there is, it is necessary for me to go to Jerusalem. It's divine necessity. Ever since the book of Genesis and all the prophets foretold all the events of the suffering of Christ, he had to go to Jerusalem by the holy city and temple and die. And the reason why Jesus has a lament, O Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets, stones those sent to you, I wanted to gather you like a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. Your house is forsaken. This great irony that through the history of the Jewish people, even though they had the holy city, they had the temple, they had the Holy of Holies, they had the chief priests and the temple service. Yet when the prophets came, they killed them or stoned them. Jeremiah is a good example in the Old Testament lesson today, what courage he had. He spoke the law to them. He said, come to your senses, relent and repent, or God will destroy this place. And for his faithful proclamation, they want to kill Jeremiah, the great prophet Jeremiah. And he simply stands there and says, go ahead, kill me if you want, but know this, if you do, you shed innocent blood. For in truth, it's the Lord that gave these words for me to speak to your ears. All through the history of God's people, they would simply refuse to believe, refuse to listen, and their house would be forsaken. For Jesus foretold that after his crucifixion and resurrection, the temple would be torn down, and in 70 AD, the whole thing was torn down by the Romans, never to be built again. And now there's a Muslim mosque where the temple used to be, and all that's left is the Wailing Wall. But we don't need that temple anymore, because the Jerusalem over which Jesus wept, found there at the outside the gate of Jerusalem, the very temple himself, Christ, nailed to the cross. Our temple now, through whom we can come into the New Jerusalem, is the body of Christ. His body is the temple. He is the Holy of Holies. He is the sacrificial lamb and Passover lamb. He is the high priest, our intercessor. He is the second Adam. He is the Savior. He is the new temple. And in his body, the holiness of God comes to us. Therefore, he wants to gather you so that you and I can come into the new Jerusalem of heaven. And the fourth thing that Jesus is saying in this text about why he goes to Jerusalem and wants to gather us is that he will be perfected on the third day. He'll be raised so you and I also can be raised. Jesus says, I must continue today and tomorrow on the third day to finish my course. Jesus is giving a veiled and mysterious reference to Holy Week and to Easter, for Christ was raised on the third day. Jesus could see into the future how he would finish his course. He would finish his course at Calvary's cross during Holy Week on Good Friday. After he poured out his blood, after he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, and told the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise, he said, it is finished, meaning the work is done. It's completed. You and I can add nothing to Christ's sacrifice. His is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world once for all time. The work is complete. Jesus knew that that was going to be the source of our salvation. It's because of that death that you have been declared righteous through his blood. It's because of that death that God accounts to you the holiness of Christ. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world puts on you and me the white robe of his righteousness. And in the empty tomb, we see God the Father has accepted his sacrifice in our place. Jesus, our substitute. This is why Jesus was to be perfected and finish his course, was for our salvation, for you and for me. You know those events of Holy Week and how he finished that work. And he even refers to that at the end of this text when he says, you're not going to see me again until you cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A chant from Psalm 118 that the Jews would sing a song of the ascents as they came up to worship. Well, these are going to be the words the first day of Holy Week that the crowd cry out on Palm Sunday. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then Monday, he'll cleanse the temple, drive the money changers out. Tuesday and Wednesday, he would teach in the temple courts. Thursday, he instituted the Lord's Supper, our new Passover, and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And on Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, condemned to death by Herod and Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate. And his trial, his scourging, his mocking, crowned with thorns and crucified. He died and he was buried and he was raised on the third day. He finished the course. He was raised on the third day. So you too will be raised incorruptible. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling you, you will be raised. After you die and you're buried and your body returns to dust, God will miraculously raise you from the earth and give you that new glorified body like unto his glorified body. Thus our Lord Jesus Christ, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, desires to gather us. Here is how Jesus gathers you under his loving arms with a stretched out hands on the cross at Jerusalem. He gathers you as the word of God is preached to your ears. He gathers you by putting his spirit and his name upon you in holy baptism. He gathers you as you hear the word of absolution where Christ says, I forgive you your sins. He gathers you at the table where he gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And he continues to desire to gather the whole human race around his pure and holy gospel. How often, Jesus said, I desire to gather you as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. I remember as a child hearing a pastor preach an illustration to demonstrate exactly what Jesus was saying. And I still remember it to this day. He said there was a farmer in Nebraska, hot summer night. And he looked out the window in the evening and he saw that his entire barn was on fire because of the dry hay. And it was ablaze and he just had to watch the whole barn burn down. And so in the morning he walked through the embers and kicked the coals of what was his barn. And lo and behold, he comes upon the burnt body of a hen. Black. The hen is dead. But he hears chirping. And he takes his foot and pushes the mother, the body of the mother hen out of the way. And there's little chicks underneath the hen's wings that survived the fire. They were alive. And so he gathered these chicks and took them to the hen house and was amazed how she gave her life for these chicks. What a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. He was nailed to the cross. He bore the fire of God's wrath on his very body. He was burnt, if you will, for our sins upon the cross. And he died. But underneath his wings, we dwell safely. And our Lord Jesus Christ promises us the gift of everlasting life under his wings. My brothers, whom I love and long for, Paul said, my joy and crown, beloved, stand firm in the Lord. Imitate those who've set the example of a godly life and rejoice today. Let Jesus gather you. Don't fight Jesus gathering you. He says, come under my wings. Let the burden fall from you. Put your burden on me. My friends, let Jesus gather you under his wings today. The one who cast out demons so we can live without fear. The one who performed cures so that we can be healed. The one who died at Jerusalem so we can come into the new Jerusalem. And the one who's perfected on the third day so we too can be raised to everlasting life. May the Lord Jesus gather you and me today under his wings. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.